All right, I'd like to call you back over to the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, and we'll finish the message from this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 reads this way: "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before your throne this evening, thanking you again, Lord, for knowing that where two or three are gathered together, you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we ask, as you've called us to, for the filling and blessing of your Holy Spirit that will guide us into all truth. Lord, that you might be highly exalted and honored, even not just in the message, Lord, not just in this service, but in our lives, and that we might experience your great grace as you've intended and truly be the witnesses of your great grace. Bless your people, bless your word, and again, Lord, may you be honored and glorified, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title of the message is, "This Then is the Message." This then is the message. And this is important. The first thought, of course, is a declared fellowship with God that brings joy. We looked at that point this morning. And then also the will of God concerning our salvation. And that's God's plan as well. And we'll take just a brief moment, take a look at that. And then the last two thoughts, the third thought is the Word of God in us. And the last point will be the love of God perfected in us. And again, we realize that all these things involve the power of God. Paul said, listen, I don't want to hear what people are saying. I want to see the power of God in the lives of those that are professing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing, it's easy to profess the Lord Jesus Christ. It means something completely different in our relationship with the Lord to see the power and the grace of God bearing fruit in our lives by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we thank the Lord for that. Listen, don't settle for just a mere existence as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is not his plan. His intention in giving us eternal life is that the life of Christ and the hope of Christ and the glory of Christ, believe it or not, might be in and through our lives. So we have to really grasp that concept before we can really move into these truths that God has laid out for us. So first of all, just very quickly in verse 3, again, there's a declared fellowship. Notice what it says. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So he's saying these are the things that we have been given. And so John here, the writer, is saying, you've entered into that because of your salvation. We have this fellowship with us. He's including us in there. And in verse 4, he says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, let me ask you this question. We talked about Paul a little bit, but did John have any trials in this life? Yeah, absolutely he did. And yet he said there were joys that God gives to us. So the Lord is not, please don't think it anything strange when trials come in and say, well, where's the joy of the Lord? That's coming from the devil. The joy of the Lord, ready, has never leaves you and I. What's the joy of the Lord? Eternal life. The forgiveness of our sins. Listen, we've an inheritance with Christ. Those things never leave. And yet, listen, the truth is we can easily forget those things. We can take our eyes off of Jesus, amen, and the life that he's given to us. And then all of a sudden we look at what's happening here on this earth. By the way, that is only temporary. It's just temporal. And before you know it, my goodness, listen, do you remember when 2023 just got started? I mean, where are we at? Time is moving along quickly, and probably, it seems to me, it may just be me, faster than ever before, amen? And that's all right with me, but one day, there's going to come a day that will never end. What a day that's going to be. And so we thank the Lord for that. So here, John is saying, listen, you've been brought into this, and we're just declaring, we want to proclaim this fellowship that we all have with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where joy comes from. Amen. And then the second point very quickly
Again, concerning our salvation, look at verse 5 with me. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is important here. We need to consider what God is, because God says, I'm in you now, right? Because of salvation, I indwell you and with the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, the truth of God is not functioning. Now, again, I want to remind you of something here. The Lord says in different places in the scripture, work out your own salvation. He is not talking about eternal life and earning that. He's talking about the salvation that God has given to you, that you yield to him, present yourselves that living sacrifice, and allowing him to work through our lives. That has to be a conscientious effort. Again, listen, it's so important. The Lord and the Holy Spirit will not make us a robot. We will have to, on purpose, seek the Lord and allow him to guide us. And he wants to make it perfectly clear on his direction in your personal life. You're not going to have to grasp at straws and wonder. He is going to solidify his will for your life and mind. Because he's God Almighty. My goodness. Listen, he's not playing games with our lives. He takes your life and my life very seriously. And he takes his will in our lives very seriously. How serious? He gave us his son. That's how serious. And it is serious. He didn't just die just, you know, by mere chance, just for the sake of our eternal life. And that's part of it. But he did give us eternal life that it might testify, listen, of his grace in our lives, so that the other people who don't have the grace of God might realize what they need. Now, listen, what we're talking about here is through the trials and the difficulties of life, as the apostles had, and as all believers, that God gives us a song in the night seasons. God gives us grace to not be overwhelmed or overcome by the trials of this life. My goodness, listen, what's that grace like? Well, let's look at the life of Job. You remember what happened to him in one day? One day. He lost his cattle. He lost his servants. He lost his children. All of them. And then, now listen, I just want you to understand. Let me show you the difference. Job walked with the Lord, did he not? He did walk with God. Now, here's the thing. Remember, and I'm not being hard on Job's wife. I'm telling you where we all are at when we take our eyes off the Lord, and when we misunderstand what he's doing in our lives, and when we're looking to ourselves more than we're looking to him. She told Job, curse God and die. Now, I can somewhat understand, as best as I can, that she lost it all. My heart goes out to her. And God brought her through that. But she was in a different place than Job was, because Job said now to her, he said, now you talk like one of the silly women that really knew not the Lord. That's what, and so he was bringing her back. He wasn't being, he was grieved just as well. Remember, he's the one that was praying for his children. And so that was the trial, but he had a testimony. Amen. And he really could not figure out. Job also was in a place of trying to sort all this out himself. But one thing you've got to be thankful for, God held him in his hand. Amen. And so he had four friends, really. We only remember the three. The fourth one was the youngest one, and he let everybody talk first. And really, he pointed the finger at the three friends that were accusing Job of being in sin, and God's judgment was upon him. That was not it at all. Listen, Job was so close to the Lord that he trusted Job to follow him in spite of the trial. Listen, that's... we don't understand that. I know that's hard to understand. But Job, God said, and he thought, there's no doubt, I can trust Job. He loves me. In fact, do you remember when the sons of God, these are the angels, gathered together before in the presence of the Lord, and Satan was also up there? God said to Job, where have you been? He says, oh, I'm walking up and down the earth that you created that I've ruined. Amen. And he said, oh, while you were down upon the earth, Did you happen to take notice of my servant Job, who eschews evil? He defeats evil. He fights evil. He's got a life in me that is not even comprehended, and that bothered Satan. He said, does Job serve you for no reason at all, for naught? He said, look what you've given him. Look what you've given. Take all that away from him, and he'll curse you. And he didn't do that, did he? And then he said, by the way, I also happen to notice this hedge that you've made on every side, on the north, on the south, on the east, and on the west. That scoundrel, that old devil, he was trying to get at Job. But God was protecting him. And again, listen, one day, because of the word of God, it will be worth it all. Amen? Yeah. Bank on that. I cannot tell you why. I just know, other than God said it, and that really settles it, whether I understand it or not. I promise you this. I promise you this. When we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. Amen. That'll be worth it all. All. That'll be on top of seeing Jesus. God says he has things that he has prepared for us that love him that haven't even entered into our minds. I don't understand that, but I believe it. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. And so by faith, ask God, if you're doubt, ask God to help you receive that truth, because that's what's going to pull you through, knowing that, Lord, what you're doing in my life is a very hard thing, but I'm going to trust you. Amen? That's faith. That's faith. It doesn't make sense. Hey, listen, you're in good company when things happen in your life that you don't understand. That's the faith part. That's the part that you turn over to the Lord. Lord, I'm confused. I'm a little bit confounded. I'm hurt. Whatever it is. But I'm coming to you and asking you to make it right in my heart and in my mind. And help me to understand that there's a day coming that you've said will make everything worth it, and will also make the worst that we, listen, that we will ever experience, and there are some horrible things and difficult things that we can experience on this side of eternity, are not to be compared to the things that he has in store for us. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. And if you don't, ask God to help you with that, because he wants to. So listen to this very carefully. Look at verse 6. He says, God is light. And then in verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and this is important, this is a vibrant working relationship that God wants us to have with him. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The truth is not functioning in our lives. And when the truth is not functioning in our life, remember who's the truth, the way, and the life? That means Jesus, the power of God, is not functioning in our lives. I didn't say you weren't a saved child of God. Don't confuse that. That is a one-time thing settled forever. But God is saying, I want the truth to be functioning, the power of God to be functioning in your life, because that's what you are going to experience to bless your life. Because listen, you're going to see it and you're going to know it before the world ever does. You're going to know the grace of God. You're going to know the peace of God that's going to enter into your life, that's going to change your life before it will ever change anybody else. And if it's not changing your life, then we have little to no influence on those that we might even take the time to witness to. I would encourage you, this is free, extra, those commercials. And wait, there's more. I'm going to encourage you to take one or two tracks. Don't take any more. Just one or two tracks. And sometime this week, somebody at a grocery store, at a gas station clerk, somewhere, ask God to help you hand those out. And even if you fail, listen, be reminded of that. I told you, I forgot and went back out to the car and got it, handed it out, and he was just as thankful as could be for it. And I was praising God for that. I was a little fearful that I was going to get rejection, not interested, no thank you, or whatever it might be. Listen, we are here because God is still looking to save souls. We are here. So please, let that work out in you. And all you have to do is just, when you give them that track, listen, it's an invitation to our church. You don't have to say that part. You can say that part. It's an invitation to our church. But you can also listen to us online. And more importantly, How to get to heaven is on that track also with scripture references. So that's the important part. So allow the Lord, and the reason why we should do that is because that's the Great Commission that was given. Who's the church? What's the church? Is it these walls and windows and doors? Or is it the person sitting in the pew? That's the church, right? So he's commissioned us to go tell somebody. Listen, this week, God, by your grace, I want to tell somebody. Keep two or three, just two. Just keep two tracks handy and hand those out. And if you don't make it this week, keep asking the Lord to hand out, and you'll see it'll happen. And just make it simple. Listen, invitation to our church, the plan of salvation's on there, and you can listen to us online. Even if you just get the plan of salvation is on there. However you want to do it, follow the Lord and allow him to use you, because now you're engaging. Now you're becoming, listen, a servant of the Lord to proclaim his word. You're a threat to the kingdom of Satan, because the gospel has the power to pull people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and God wants to do that with us and through us. As you engage the Lord, that's his service. As we're serving God, you watch and God, what God is going to do in our walk with him, because he wants to prepare vessels for his honor and glory. All right? Verse 7. Listen, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All right? He's the one that brings victory into our life to overcome those sins that would overthrow us. He doesn't want that to happen. Now, very quickly, and I mentioned that this morning, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about not being defeated by sin and not walking habitually in sin. So may it be this. I wasn't as kind. I wasn't kind in the spirit of Christ this day. Forgive me, God. I wasn't long-suffering. I did not exhibit the love that may we battle with those things and not things that the world would look on and be repulsed and how would you bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we grow in the grace of God to where that's what we're battling. Amen. Not the things that the world would say, oh, and they call themselves a Christian. Oh my goodness, you know, what a hypocrite. We don't want to do that. All right. So, and that's a process that God wants to work and bring us into in our lives. All right, very quickly, ready? Third point. The word of God in us, and here we have the two extremes. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, sinless perfection. If we say we have no sin, not some sin, not a little sin, no sin, we deceive ourselves. I heard a preacher on the television when I first got saved, and he confused me and he frightened me a little bit. He said, boy, I was out in the boat with brother so-and-so, and they both were preachers. And anyway, he may have been a charismatic preacher. I don't know. But anyway, his face, I can see his face. And the guy, he said, pray for us. You know, we're going out fishing or whatever. And he said, oh Lord, you know, forgive us for where we fail in our sins. And he said, I stopped him, brother. I don't sin. And I'm thinking, really? Well, the Bible says here, he deceives himself, right? No, we do sin, but we don't want to habitually walk in that. And you're going to see, look how God puts this together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen to this. And the truth is not in us. Now, listen, that's a big deception. I don't know how any child of God cannot see that they have. That's a far extreme. It's possible. This has been written to the children of God to guard against these things. But we do have sin. Amen. We do deal with that. But that it may not be habitually being conducted in our lives. Okay. So look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? God, okay, but that's not the scapegoat. Let's not use it as a scapegoat. Let's not just allow sin in our lives and say, okay, I'm going to fail and I'll just ask for forgiveness. God will forgive. I'm not saying he won't forgive, But what we need to be careful is that we don't settle into that realm without God giving us the victory over those things, especially, listen, if they're sins that are against the Lord in such a way that they discredit the Lord in our lives. We don't want to do that. Okay, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word, listen to this, is not in us. So it's important that we understand the word of God is in us, and there are two extremes, and again, the condition of habitual sin and the contradiction of seldom sin. All right, we don't want to contradict, and we definitely don't want to defame or take away honor from our Savior, because listen, he saved us, he redeemed us to cleanse us and to call us a royal priesthood and a holy people for his honor and glory. All right? So now let's consider, this is the last thought, how the love of God perfects us. All right? This is where the rubber meets the road. Look at verse 1. My little children, remember all these things that came prior to this, he said these things, talking about these things, write unto you that you what? That you sin not. That you sin not. So please, put that all together. And he's not saying that we don't sin at all. Remember, listen, if you say that you don't sin, that's one thing, but he's not saying that. He's saying that you don't walk continually in sin and continuing to fail the Lord in certain areas in our life. He wants us to give us victory. We should be able, by the grace of God, overcome the sin in our life. Now again, listen, the Lord is not just, you're not just going to sit somewhere and the Holy Spirit's just going to make you a robot and he's going to direct you away from the things that would dishonor the Lord. That's not the way it works. He's going to use you and I with our spirit and with his Holy Spirit to walk uprightly in his grace. So keep that thought in mind. And with that said, again, verse 1 in chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he's saying that can happen. It will happen. But we know exactly where to go to make things right, to keep going in the Spirit of Christ. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation. And that is, the word propitiation is an atoning sacrifice. All right? So he says here, and he is the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, again, I'm it's not really a pet peeve. Maybe it is a little bit. But for these people that say only some people are going to be saved and all the rest are going to be lost, that just contradicts the Bible, really, because he is the Savior of the whole world, especially them that believe. But then also here we find here that he died, really, for the sins of the whole world. That's just not the elect in the world. That is the whole world. Otherwise, he would have said that he had died for the sins of the elect in the whole world. But he didn't say that. Okay. All right. So here we find the purpose of this letter, and that is that you sin not, and that you walk honorably before the Lord as a royal priesthood. This is important. Now, here's the key. Ready? We can't do that in our strength. But we cannot wish it to happen and not ask God to perform it and not experience God to bring that to pass in our lives. And so he says he's the one who has atoned for the sins of the whole world. And if that's if he died for the sins of the whole world, and he did, does that include you and I as believers? Absolutely. All right. Now, notice this in verse 3, what he talks about here, knowing Jesus. Verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him. That is an intimate relationship, all right, of him working in us. You know, when you're married to somebody, they know you. They know you. Why? Because there's an intimate relationship there. And they know your likes, they know your dislikes, they know you, right? And that's what the Lord is saying he wants with us. He knows us, but he really wants us to know him and how he works and what he will do, because he's the one that wants to bring joy. And didn't we read that before? Into our lives. not the joy of the world, but his joy that passes understanding. He wants to bring that. So God is wanting us. Listen, he's not just trying to get work out of us. Do you believe that? He's not just trying to get us to work for him. He wants us to love him, and he wants to show us why to love him. Amen. He wants to give us the reasons to love him, and then we want to pursue him in a greater way, right? And that's good, isn't it? That's important. So as we experience the joy of the Lord in our lives, we say, "Oh, I want more." Listen, the salvation that God gave you is why you're here tonight. The salvation that God gave you is why you still seek the Lord. Because that was so good that you said, "I want more." Well, the good thing is that God wants to bring a whole lot more in our knowing him in a deeper way into our lives. So again, verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Isn't that important? Now, please don't misunderstand this. He's not asking you to do it in your strength or power. But by the way, listen, when his commandments, the Bible says, are not grievous. They're not a difficulty to us. Listen, want to hear a truth? They are difficult in the flesh. In fact, listen, they are impossible. Here's what we'll do, and here's what we've done. I've done it. Ready? I'll just always be a failure in that. There's no way. I just can't overcome that. Well, praise God, that is the truth. But Jesus Christ in us can overcome those things. And I've experienced him overcoming many things. Amen. Even in the short time, in a little over 6 years, I have seen him do exponential things in my life in a wonderful way. And so I'm in the business now of asking the Lord to do more. Amen. And do you know what? He amazes me. He doesn't quit. I have not gotten to the end of God doing good things in my life. We will never get to the end of God doing good. Ask him. You have not because you... Amen? Because you ask not. So ask him, Lord, I don't want to fail you. Listen, I don't want to walk in my power. I don't want to walk in my strength. So again, listen, verse 3. "And hereby we do know him, that we know him if we keep his commandments." You know what he's saying? Listen. He is saying, that is how you will know when you're walking in his spirit. You will know that God is working in your life and that you have an intimate relationship. Being saved is one thing, but intimately calling upon the Lord every day, seeking him in his word and walking with him and desiring his will and enjoying his will and desiring for him to perform his will is another relationship on another level. You can be a saved child of God and say, "Okay, I'm going to stop right there." And that's, you're a saved child of God, but you're not going to experience any growth. And you're not going to experience the grace of God the way he wants us to, and to know him and to watch him fulfill his commandments. And us, listen, as we do those things, we go, whoa, God did that. Amen. Praise you, God, because I know where I'm at. Do you know that the Bible says that the angels desire to look into those things? They're like, if you can imagine this, they're like white knuckled over the banisters of heaven, waiting for the grace of God to be performed in our lives. And they'll go, look, there it is. The grace of God in a redeemed one, as just as God. Praise the Lord. Amen. More importantly, it blesses our lives. More importantly, it shines the light into this dark world that the lost people may see. Oh my goodness, I want that in my life. Wait, my goodness, I need that in my life. That looks like, you mean you don't have to find joy in this? You mean you can find joy that passes the things of this world that are not dependent upon this world? You mean that I can be happier than what the news is trying to tell me is going on in the world? Absolutely. In Jesus. But we'll never find it in ourselves or on our own. Verse 4. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." He didn't say you weren't saved. Here's what he's saying. Listen. If you're not keeping his commandments, that means you're not in that intimate relationship with the Lord where He's performing that. Question. Let me ask you a question tonight. Can you keep the commandments in your own strength? We know that. Here's another question. Why do we keep doing that? Listen, you know what the definition of insanity was? Was it Albert Einstein? To keep repeating the same, doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different outcome? Stop. I'm preaching to myself too, all right? Stop. And say, oh Lord, You said to call upon You, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to call on You like You said, for You to do what I cannot do. Because if you will take the time to call on God to do something you can't do and then you do it, who are you going to praise? You're not going to say, well, I got it that time. Oh yeah, then you'll miss it the next time if you rob Him of His glory. And you won't want to do that. Listen, I don't even have to tell you this. The moment you know where your weaknesses are, and you know where you can't overcome, and when God brings it to pass, you won't even think about it. You'll just be praising the Lord right where you're at. You'll know. You won't have to think about what happened. You'll know. All right, verse 5, ready? But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily or truly is the love of God what? Perfected. That means it's brought to fruition. It's brought to maturity. All right? You know, would you eat an apple before it was ripe? It's not going to be a lot of fun. Would you eat any kind of before it's done? You want it in its prime. You want it when it's ready. And so likewise, God is wanting to perfect His power. Listen. That's the will of God. He is wanting to do that for us. We can't do it ourselves. So again, watch this. Verse 5. But whoso, remember, we realize that we cannot keep His commandments. It'll have to be in His power. And then when it's, you will miss the whole message to go out there and say, yep, the Lord deserves it. And He does. I'm gonna rededicate. I'm going to try harder. You missed it. And I've done it many a times. I'm going to do something for Jesus. No, we are not. We are not. We can do nothing without Him. We need Him to do it. And so we've got to come to the end of ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I know that I can't do it and You just help me a little bit. I know that I can't do it at all and You have to do it all. We've got to come to that point or it's never going to happen. We are so full of ourselves, and God has to show us how to die to ourselves. Oh, listen, I catch myself. You know, I'm going, oh, that is me. That is not the Spirit of God. That is me. And you know what it will teach us to do? Walk a little more humbly before the Lord. Walk a little bit more quiet and more in tune to listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Don't answer this question. How many times have you done or said something that you said afterwards you wish you'd never done or said it? Amen? And the truth is, we can still do it, can't we? We are capable of doing it every day. Every day. Unless the Spirit of God is guiding and giving us that peace and helping us to see the things from God's perspective and for His glory. We are not to be championing ourselves and our cause. We are here for the glory of God. And so if we could just stop and say, you know, Lord, Your honor and glory today, not mine. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to deny who? Never do it without denying ourselves. And boy, oh boy, we're so full of ourselves that we get mad when ourselves is bothered, when things don't go the way we think that they should go. And that means self is on the throne, so we've got business to do with the Lord. Lord, that self would be crucified on the altar, Lord. That it would not rule my life. And listen, you're not going to have the flesh and the spirit that war against each other walking together. It's just not going to work. So one of them has got to be suppressed. And the truth is, we cannot suppress the flesh. That's a work of the Spirit. And so God wants to do that. All right, ready? Listen, That is what's going to bring, this is God's plan to bring hope to mankind, and it's through your life and mine. Listen, we don't understand God if we think, well, we're going to wait for the next church to do it, or we're going to wait for somebody else to do it, and I'll pray for that some. Forget it. It's you and me. That's who God's looking at. If we're waiting on something else, and we're waiting for some, please, do you think the disciples are, okay, let's get together. And I'm not against programs. What program are we going to do to bring the people in? What's the program? You know what the program is? Be my light. Go out there and tell them. But if we don't have, listen, why did the people give their attention? Remember Peter? Foot and mouth Peter? Why did they listen to him? Why did 3,000 souls come to salvation on the day of Pentecost? Oh, because Peter, my goodness, Peter. No, it had nothing to do with Peter, other than he was the vessel that God used. And God honored himself through Peter. And then Peter realized where the power comes from. Remember Peter? Oh, man, my goodness, he was getting it wrong. You'd have never thought he'd have got it right. That gives you and me hope. If God can turn Peter around, can he turn us around? Amen. Listen, these things were written for our admonition and for our direction to understand how it works. But for us to just say, well, that's a good story, is not to apply the word of God. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we, what? Are in him. He's talking to saved children of God. But you're not really in him if this is not being worked out. Now, you're in him in salvation. But if we're in him and he's in us, remember, Lord, that they might know that you're in me and I'm in you. How did they know? By what he was saying and what he was doing. You know how the world's going to know, and you know how you're going to know? Because we're going to be doing the Father's will. And by the way, listen, you've gotta have that truth so that you know how to approach the Lord and what to approach him for, that you might do your will. That sounds good. That's all wonderful. It's got to be applied, and we've got to approach the Lord with that understanding and purpose that God would perform what we know we can't do. Not just chalk it off and say, okay, no, Lord, I want to experience you in my life. Ready? Again, verse 5, and then we'll read verse 6, and we'll be done. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. This is how we're going to know that we're in him. He's not talking about in him for salvation, but in him in his grace, and his grace is carrying out his word, and it's being perfected. And then verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You remember, if you abide in me and I abide in you? But we are not abiding in him if we are not fulfilling and can't. Not in our strength. If we are not, let me correct this. Listen, if we are not seeing Jesus give us his peace and his joy. If we don't, listen. If I get mad because something doesn't go my way or you've offended me, am I in the Spirit of God? I'm not in the Spirit of God. But if you say something or do something to offend me, and I turn the other cheek, in the physical, I would just not say anything, or I would be even kind to you in spite of that, and love you in spite of that. Not that I do it. Listen, because hear me. When that happens in my life, there is no doubt about it who did it. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I don't get far at all in denying myself if God's not doing it. I've got so much patience, and it's not a whole lot. It isn't a whole lot if I'm in the flesh. And that's where I'm at if I don't have a whole lot of patience. So what is that all about? For me to say, okay, I'm walking in my strength, and say, Lord, I need you right now. Praise God, you don't have to make an appointment with the Lord. All you have to do is call on him. Listen, he said, call on me, unto me, and I'll answer. He didn't say, make an appointment, and I'll get to you when I can. He is Almighty God, and he gives you 100% of his attention, and he gives me 100% of his attention, and any of his children that call upon him all at the same time. So tonight, listen, this then, as the apostle said, is the message. The message to that changes our life for the glory of God and for our blessing. And it's all the work of God if we'll ask him for it. So tonight, God is saying, please realize where your power comes from and where you can experience the love of God in an unbelievable, mighty way. Listen, if you'll ask, him to do it, he'll do it. Let's pray. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. And Lord, we ask that you would grant us your wisdom and your understanding to understand, Lord, what we've looked at tonight. And to experience you, Lord, and your grace and your power and your Holy Spirit in a life-changing way that will bring joy unspeakable and your peace that passes the world's understanding into our own lives, that it might spill over out of our lives into others' lives, Lord, into the world, into our family, into our church family, for your honor and glory. Bless your people with this truth, Lord, and allow us to call on you that you might bring it to pass in our lives, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.